Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Yesterday, the Golden State Warriors celebrated a second straight title with Kevin Durant, a third in 4 years with their championship parade. And now we wait to see what this offseason holds. If KD re-signs and they don't ship out Klay and Draymond because of their impending free agency 1 and 2 years from now, respectively, it is still a machine of death.
You are a machine of death.
And the rest of the NBA has to be desperate to try to match it if they can even come close to doing so. A really interesting piece done on this was done by Sports Illustrated's Andrew Sharp at SI.com as well. And I found this read really, really interesting. And we have him here on the show right now. The title of the piece is Kevin Durant Won't Leave the Warriors, But Maybe He Should. Andrew, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. Thanks so much for joining us. And like I said, I really enjoyed your piece because I think we exist in this really weird quasi-territory with Kevin Durant. If you want to see him leave, it's like you're not a real basketball fan. But if you want to see him leave, it would mean it's better for basketball. You kind of lead out and lay out the 10 reasons why. Would you like to see him leave this offseason?
I would, because I'm a Kevin Durant fan. I mean, first and foremost, I think that if you care about his career and how he's perceived and how he's remembered, I think that there is more of an upside for him if he went somewhere else and turned around and said, look, I went to Golden State because I wanted to play with smart basketball players and learn how to win and evolve personally and professionally, and I did that, and it was a great 2 years, and now I want another challenge. And if he did that, I don't think he ever would, because I think he would fear kind of the backlash and the way this move was perceived. But like, so many people would immediately turn 180 degrees on Kevin Durant and get all the way back in. But where we are now, like you said, it's kind of just we're in a weird zone where everybody acknowledges that KD is a great player, but one of the reasons he went to Golden State is because he wanted to be the number one guy in the league and the guy that everyone loves and sort of take over the throne from LeBron. And that's not happening, because I think most basketball fans kind of give this whole Warriors team the side eye right now, because they're just so stacked that it's hard to appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a weird in-between world that we live in with these guys, because obviously they're great and obviously they play a type of style we should love and appreciate. But because there's no drama involved, we kind of don't want to see it. And so basketball purists will say, well, you don't get basketball. You don't understand basketball. You touch on this in your piece. How annoying is it to hear that as the counterargument to Kevin Durant?
Man, it's really tough. And I have It's definitely a take that is particularly prevalent in the media, and I argue with colleagues about it pretty frequently. Like, you can appreciate basketball, and I personally, my problem with the Warriors is that I do appreciate basketball, and I see now that, like, they can win getting a B-plus game from Steph Curry and a B-plus game from Durant. Like, they don't even have to play their best basketball to dominate everyone else. And I think if you're a basketball fan, you can watch these games and understand that that's what's happening in most of them, is that the Warriors really aren't maxing out the individual talents of any of these guys on a regular basis. I mean, you'll have a couple games here and there where they go off, but, like, for the most part, it's just kind of a bummer to watch. And so it definitely gets annoying when you hear people lecturing everyone about how you need to appreciate greatness, and the only people who are complaining are just, like, sad idiots who don't appreciate greatness. Like, that's just way off base. I appreciate greatness. I just want to see a little bit more competition. I think watching great players get pushed is the best part of sports.
Andrew Sharp joins us, SportsIllustratedSI.com. And you touched on that in your piece, and you kind of touched on that also earlier in our conversation. Steph Curry's great. Kevin Durant's great. But when they play together, they are not pushed to their utmost degree. As you said, we're not watching Curry and Durant operate at the height of their powers. If they stay together, will we ever see that from those two guys, or just what Steph did before KD arrived?
I think we may. I wouldn't write it off entirely, because if the roster gets too expensive over the next few years, or, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with Golden State this year that I think David West and Sean Livingston and even Steve Kerr alluded to after the title. And some of that probably centered on Draymond Green, and some of it probably centered on KD, actually. But I think that if the chemistry gets weird and they end up shipping out Draymond, or Draymond wants too much money and they decide they don't want to pay him $180 or $200 million, like, if it's just Steph and KD and one other guy, then I think the calculus changes a little bit, and we will see Durant and Curry have to do a little bit more, and that'll be fascinating too. I think that alone would be more interesting than what we've got right now. And also, you take Draymond out of that offense, and he facilitates basically a half of what they do. And if it's Steph and KD running pick and rolls together, it gets a lot more interesting.
What do you think is the stories behind closed doors with the Warriors this year? As you mentioned, West and even Kerr and Livingston have alluded to, this was tough. This was the toughest. But what was it about KD? What was it about Kevin Durant that might have factored into the drama?
Well, I don't want to speculate too much. I will say, like, the most impressive part of all of this is that the Warriors didn't let on that there was anything going on behind the scenes for the duration of the season and the playoffs. I think they were very careful to say all the right things. And if you watched closely, you could tell that something was a little bit off. But I think there's kind of built-in challenges when you're going to the finals for a fourth straight year. And that's kind of apathy and a team that knows it doesn't really have to it's not going to be judged until May and June, so why try in March and February? And I think there was some of that, but I also think that the personalities behind the scenes were a little bit more difficult, and it went a little bit beyond, like, the typical apathy and struggles that title teams face when they try to repeat. And that, I think, you've got some big personalities in that locker room. Draymond is one of them, and then Kevin Durant has always been kind of a little bit more sensitive than most superstars, so I think that played into it as well.
Andrew Sharp joins SportsIllustratedSI.com and SI's podcast Open Floor about the NBA. So does that make it sound to you like this is not necessarily tenable for the long term? I mean, they seem to play kumbaya together. They want to take less money to keep winning and all of this. But if there was already friction within that locker room this year, just year two of KD, should we imagine that this doesn't necessarily have a shelf life of another 6 to 8 years?
I think it's a safe bet that 6 to 8 years is probably longer than this is going to last, just because there are so many different things that can happen, and everything that looks great now can change over the next few years. And even when you look at the Bulls teams, like, the only people that stayed together through those six titles, it was Jordan and Pippen, and then there was turnover everywhere else, and things got different, and they kept winning because Jordan and Pippen were that good. So there's going to be changes. I would say that it's maybe wishful thinking to say that the adversity they dealt with this year is going to kind of snowball and turn into something bigger that tears this team apart, because winning solves so much. And I think the conversations around Durant and the Warriors were very different even 2 weeks ago after the Rockets series, when things kind of looked a little bit off. I mean, coming after that finals, like, Durant was dominant, the Warriors looked dominant again, and everybody seems pretty happy. So winning will solve most of this, and I think we are in for at least another title or maybe two for the Warriors before things really start to change.
Where's our best bet to have a challenger? Do you believe it's Boston? Do you believe it's wherever LeBron goes? Do you believe it's Houston?
You know what? I think it's going to be Boston. If you ask me to pick the next team to win a title other than the Warriors, I would take the Celtics. They are so well positioned, and they still have one more move to make for another superstar. And they're going to be really tough, man. I wouldn't sleep on them. And LeBron is going to make this summer really fun. I'm very curious to see where he lands. But it's going to be hard for him to go somewhere and build a team overnight that can take this Warriors team down. And by the time he does, it may take a year or two, by the time he does, I think the Celtics will be in even better position than he is to make a run at Golden State.
In your piece, you likened Kevin Durant joining the Warriors to Shaq joining the 96 Bulls, unlike LeBron joining Bosh and Dwayne Wade. How do you think history looks at Kevin Durant? I mean, he's winning. He's got NBA Finals MVPs. But is history going to look at it as a gravy train of sorts, as you mentioned, a Shaq on a 96 Bulls?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out. I think when he initially came to Golden State, most people in sports media remembered how we reacted to the LeBron in Miami, and how crazy everyone went, and how regrettable some of those, like, fiery opinions ended up being. Because ultimately, LeBron in Miami was a pretty cool thing, and some of those titles were very memorable and great. And so I think people wanted to avoid making that mistake with Durant in Golden State, and just sort of assumed that over time, history would look kindly on his decision to join the Warriors. And I don't know if we're going to get all the way there. I think this is always going to be kind of a strange era in NBA history that was made possible by, like, an unprecedented spike in the salary cap, and it was just kind of bizarre. And it's strange to live through it now. I mean, the day after the finals, you could look at the NBA and say, well, the Warriors are going to win again next year too. So I don't know if history is going to ever, like, forgive him or celebrate this era. I think it's going to be more, this was strange, and he's a great player, but it wasn't very much fun to watch him succeed.
I really enjoyed Andrew Sharp's piece, SIDSI.com. Kevin Durant won't leave the Warriors, but maybe he should. You can check that out at SI.com. Read it, obviously, there. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Sharp, and check out his podcast as well, The Open Floor, for Apple Podcasts and Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Andrew, great stuff, man. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll catch up again.
Thanks so much. Take it easy, man.
You too. Andrew Sharp joining us here on the show. When it comes to how we look at Kevin Durant, I think it's always difficult to know what history is going to do when you're in the middle of it. It's very hard to gain that perspective that you need to zoom out 30,000 feet view. What does it look like when we're not inside the everyday of this sucks? You know, it just does. Unless you're a Warriors fan or you hate LeBron, this sucks because there is no drama. There's no reason to watch the NBA Finals. You know who's going to win. You even know going into next year who is supposed to win in a heavy way. And if somebody said, okay, the odds, what do you bet $100 on? That the Warriors win the next two championships, or that somebody else breaks in there, the field, you'd probably take the Warriors to win the next two. That's how predictable this has become. And when it happens like that in the middle of it, it stinks. People look back on dynasties and realize, oh, wow, well, now that we're not in the middle of that, that's fun to look at. We admire it. So I think there will be a softening a little bit in the future, But one thing I don't think we'll be able to shake, whenever you think about these Golden State Warriors, you will think about at the very least how the first two titles, there was no drama, and they really didn't need Kevin Durant to win a championship. That's inevitable because they already had won one and went to Game 7 after 73 wins without him. Once that happened, it just felt like, what are we doing? We're not even really playing a full basketball season. And I think because of that, the joy that gets sucked out of the drama and the unknown means that at the very least for these 2 years, I think in history we will look back and yawn on these. Like, yeah, the Warriors were really great, but what did it really mean if they're not being challenged by anybody? Were they individually great, or was the league not ready at that time to challenge them? And was it really fair to load up a great team with an already great player? Adam Silver at the time said, I don't think this is ideal for the league. He was right. He knew. When we come back, Christian Hackenberg is without a job again. How bad is he? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Brand new Nomad episode is out on YouTube, and let me give you a little synopsis of what I captured. There has been a guy protesting outside our building for the last month. Every day for the last 4 weeks, his car has been plastered with big signs. Now, you might ask, DA, what is he protesting? That I don't know. That was the difficult part about telling this story. He has huge signs, and he has been calling out the owners of teams here in New York City, James Dolan, Woody Johnson. He's also asked for a sit-down with Matt Harvey, I believe. And he has defended Colin Kaepernick and said that we need to all sit down together and understand each other's sides, which I think is a good platform to run on, if you will. He says he's got thoughts on how to bring people together and how to, I think, encourage empathy for people that you disagree with in this trying time. Which, again, this sounds good. Unification, bring people together, etc. So I went down there, and every day here in the office, people go, can you believe the crazy guy downstairs is still there? He's sleeping in his car. I don't know how he affords parking in Tribeca in Manhattan every day for a month. He's out there, he's got his earbuds in, he's dancing, he's holding his signs, but nobody quite knows what he's protesting. So I said, I'm going to go talk to him. So I documented the last 3 weeks of him on the street, and I talked to him, and I interviewed him multiple times. Mraz, this is one of the most amazing stories I've ever seen, because how long can you protest something that people don't quite know what you're protesting and sleep in your car doing so while paying parking and not racking up fines? I kept asking him, are you getting parking tickets? Are the cops coming to kick you out? And he keeps saying, no, they've been great. They've been fine. If he's paying parking, God bless. But how did this guy afford parking every hour of every day? That's a 1 hour parking down there for, I believe, $3.50 an hour. So that's 2 hours for $7. That means if he's out there for 10 hours, what is that, $35 a day? He's doing that every day for a month? Does he have that money?
Well, I mean, clearly he's sleeping in the car, so I would assume he's not paying rent. Otherwise, he wouldn't be sleeping in his car.
Right.
So he's living in his car.
But he's got to have some type of income.
My guess would be he's since lost his job that he has this much time to stay out here and protest, and he had enough saved, but not nearly enough to waste it on rent. So he thinks maybe he can make it big time by protesting out a media company.
Okay.
Turn that into a job. In the meantime, he's just going to sleep and live outside the station.
So I don't think he's looking for a job. I don't think he's trying to turn this into a job. I think he's got some type of thoughts in his brain about what he's going to do if he brings people together. He also wants to sit down with Howard Stern. He wants 2 hours with Howard, whether it's on the radio or not, to give his thoughts on things. And
I think he's protesting outside the wrong building for that one.
And I told him that. I said, why not be where Howard is? He's not in this building. He has some thoughts on how to treat the homeless, which I thought was insightful. He had some thoughts on public safety, I thought was insightful. But again, there's no kind of focused idea here.
So, any thoughts on him getting a job?
He didn't say that. He does watch Nat Geo on his phone via YouTube, and he had some thoughts on some amazing things he's seen in the wildlife.
Okay, that tells me he's got unlimited data, too, which means his phone bill he's paying must be pretty high.
So this is what's all fascinating. This guy has been out here for 4 weeks sleeping in his car. He's also found amazing poster board and tape and markers. But these are huge signs.
None written real well, though.
No.
And that's where his message gets lost.
Yes, it's muddled.
Very much
muddled
so.
To say
there's
the
misspelled
best.
Words.
His poster
board,
out,
yeah, his poster boards look a lot like my Twitter account.
That's right.
You can't keep up.
And I said, how long is this going to go on? He goes, as long as it takes to get a sit down with these guys. And I said, well, that might not happen, but he's not giving up. 4 weeks.
Did he understand?
4 weeks.
Did he understand he got a sit down with Damon Amendola?
I don't know. He likes to call me kid.
Well, that's a good sign for the career, you know?
His slogan is, do good, kid. You're doing good, kid. You're doing good. So I don't know. Bilotti, if I had to ask you, will he be here on July the 4th outside this building? Would you say yes?
Yes, because he's a lunatic.
You think?
He's going to be outside there July 4th this year and next year as well.
And next year, you think he's going to pay for parking for a full calendar year? No, he's going to get scared off by then.
And plus, no one's going to tow him. It's totally ridiculous. He's able to sit out there with street cleaning rules and not get towed or not get a ticket.
Well, he might be moving the car.
I don't know. It's too much for me. Get him out.
Get him out. At some point, the man's going to need a car inspection, no?
He's also eating something because he's not withering away.
I would hope.
He's very healthy. I mean, he's looking healthy, looking rather. I mean, he's not exactly healthy, but, you know, he's not like skin and bones. You know, you see, if you think of a homeless guy, you think of them as they're struggling to find their next meal. He is not. So I don't know what he's eating, what he's drinking.
So he's homeless with a good
savings account. He's smoking cigs.
Well, you know, that's where you got to let it go. I mean, that's an unnecessary, if you don't have a
expenditure.
Home, it's
maybe
time to
he
put
does
the
have a
away.
Home, though.
Then go there.
Well,
get away.
This is a cause for him. I don't know.
It hasn't worked for a month. It's time to pack it up if you got a home.
Bogus, do you think he's there July 4th?
No.
So
who comes back first, him or Brad Heller? The dessert coordinator.
I mean, he's been out there now. This is week number 4.
Yeah.
So that's this week's Nomad. You can check that out on YouTube, my digital travel series, where I went inside the protester outside CBS, and I've interviewed him multiple times
Sean's
over the last
had an
3 weeks.
Idea.
I have one more question. Please don't laugh me off. Does he smell?
Well, that's an interesting question. When I began this docuseries, he did not. I had close-up encounters with him. I interviewed him side by side, shoulder to shoulder. Recently, actually yesterday, I finished up my filming. I thought that this would be over by now. It is not. And I went to interview him again. And there was a bit of a funk coming from the car. And I interviewed him as he was still sitting in the car. And it was a bit funktastic.
Pungent.
Pungent is a good word. Pungent. And I would say the pungency is surrounding the car by about 3 feet. Anywhere within that 3 feet radii, you'll probably smell it.
So, I mean,
can't kill him. He's sleeping in a car.
I get it, but it's tough to justify your cause if nobody wants to be near you because you stink like a hippopotamus. Moist.
I don't know. I find this guy really interesting, and I feel like he's worthy to talk to, and I'm glad that I did, and I caught up with him. And I would encourage anybody, before you just discredit somebody as crazy, go and talk to him. Because I just think this guy needs to talk to somebody and have an audience. And I was glad that I was able to do that for him. But I want to know, this is like Cal Ripken's streak. How long can this guy be outside our building and paying for parking?
It's also not the first time. I had an encounter with him. He was dropping off a picture for our good friend Bart Scott. And this had to be This is before CMB.
No.
Yeah.
So this guy's been around? Bald guy, Dave?
I was up here one morning. The phone was ringing and ringing and ringing.
Bald Dave?
Yeah. And nobody would pick it up. So I finally did because it was getting annoying. And it was the front desk downstairs saying, there's somebody here with something for Bart. Can someone come down and get it? And I said, okay, fine. And I went down there thinking it was a normal delivery.
Yeah.
It was this guy with a handmade picture that said something about Bart and whatever. And it was wrapped in like cardboard paper. And then he proceeded to show me this picture wallet of him and all of these famous people.
Oh.
As like his accreditation.
Yeah.
Like, I know this guy and this guy and this guy, so you know I'm not crazy.
He's got connections.
But now he lives in a car.
Yeah. Okay.
He's totally normal. He's not showering and living in a car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the old days.
That's this week's Nomad. Check it out on YouTube. I've tweeted it out and also put it on Facebook as well. When we come back, the Ballad of Christian Hackenberg. Will he ever get his arm back? Plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
I will have the chicken cutlet with pesto and mozzarella hero. She looks at me and goes, yeah, you like that, big boy. Winks, smiles, then goes right back to the phone. Does that come with chips or anything?
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy? DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always check out clips of the show on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, or on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, and on our website, watchda.com. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. How bad is Christian Hackenberg? Tis the question. Hackenberg was a second-round draft pick of the New York Jets. He never threw a pass in an NFL game. Now, let that sink in. Christian Hackenberg was drafted in the second round by a team that needs a quarterback, that has needed a quarterback. He spent two seasons with the Jets and never got into a game. Second-round pick. So he's then cut by the Jets because now they've drafted Sam Darnold. They don't need Christian Hackenberg around anymore. The Oakland Raiders, always a destination for players who need a second chance. Halfway house for decades. John Gruden brings him in. You know, Sean, I like this guy's arm. I like him coming out of Penn State. I think he's got something. We'll get him into our system, our situation, and we'll bring him back to 1998, okay? Brings him in. How long was Christian Hackenberg with the Raiders? 20 days? Already cut again.
I am the epic fail.
Now, the Raiders only acquired Hackenberg for a conditional seventh-round pick. Conditional. So they didn't even really give up a true seventh-rounder, which is the last round of the draft. Oakland will now keep its pick. Christian Hackenberg, as a second-round pick and a former starting quarterback at Penn State, who is a golden boy as a freshman with the Nittany Lions, who was the star following the refresh, the reboot after the Sandusky scandal. Christian Hackenberg is a second-round draft pick and hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL, has now been cut by two teams essentially in a month, and is worth less than a seventh-round pick. Basically, you can have him for free. I heard some gruesome horror stories of Christian Hackenberg at practice, of how he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, that Hackenberg was so off that he was throwing passes into the sidelines and that he simply wasn't getting it, and they worried that he was just never going to get it and that it wasn't worth keeping him on the roster. But part of this I also wondered, was this just the Jets being overly sensitive and overly cautious because of what had been built up around him? In the New York media, you draft a guy as a quarterback second round, And the expectation is this guy is going to be the savior. And I always wondered if the Jets simply had bubble wrap around him saying, we don't want him to go out there and look bad because that will crush his reputation, confidence. The vultures are waiting for the dead carcass. And so we need to make sure that he's completely comfortable and completely successful because we don't want to put him in a situation where maybe nerves or inexperience undermines him and then he won't get another shot from the public. But if you go to Oakland, there's no expectation on you whatsoever. And really, all the Raiders are looking for is, can this guy be a backup to Derek Carr? If you go out there and within a month, you're at OTAs thrown against air. You're in minicamps. You didn't even make it to training camp. They cut you before July's training camp. If you can't go to the Raiders, where John Gruden actually liked you coming out of Penn State, and you can't get a sniff more than 20 days, what does that say? This guy will never play quarterback in the NFL. And maybe he ended up having a Rick Ankiel, Chuck Knobloch, Steve Blass type situation where he simply can't throw a football anymore accurately. I mean, what else could it be? The guy has the physical tools. He's 6'4", 220, big arm, 23 years old. That's exactly the type of guy that all NFL executives look for. It's got to be upstairs. That somehow, after his initial season at Penn State, after Bill O'Brien left, I mean, even Bill O'Brien doesn't want him. Christian Hackenberg may never be able to throw a football effectively. I mean, this is the type of thing, will he even be able to throw in the AAF or the XFL if he wants to still have a football career? You didn't last 20 days with the Raiders? That's pretty terrifying. The Jets wouldn't even suit him up. They wouldn't even activate him so that he could sit on the sideline and hold his helmet. They were scared of activating him. I mean, this is quite a story. It's time now for your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
One Ohio sports columnist, Marla Ridenour of the Akron Beacon Journal, said that she heard LeBron say that he does not like the city of Houston. Quote, I heard this from his own lips when we were in Houston this season. He does not like Houston as a city, so that would require him moving to a place he is not crazy about. Yeah, I think we're officially in the silly season of LeBron speculation. I heard LeBron once say it took him too long to get his meal at a Houston restaurant. Scratch it off. Scratch it off. I once heard him say that he really liked the Too Fast, Too Furious movies. Oh, he's definitely going to L.A. then. I mean, he once said that he didn't like Houston as a city, and that's immediately going to wipe it off. I don't believe that. I think that that connection with Chris Paul is a real one this offseason. And I think Houston with Daryl Morey is a real contender because Morey is going to do anything to beat the Warriors. He's already said that. And if that's the case, they'll move stuff around. They've got to be considered part of this conversation.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Draymond Green trolling LeBron yet again. He is wearing a t-shirt yesterday of Arthur's Fist, Arthur the Aardvark, the cartoon character. That fist has become kind of a viral sensation, and LeBron tweeted that out as a suggestion that he was frustrated. Arthur's fist being clenched, and Draymond actually had the cartoon of Arthur's Fist with three rings on the fingers with mood, dot, 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 the lettering below it. I think Draymond is obnoxious. I think Draymond is annoying. I think Draymond is a guy that needs to cool out a little bit and lack self-awareness, but I think that's a pretty funny t-shirt. Kind of like that t-shirt. I don't know. I'm partial to the Arthur memes. I don't know why. I didn't grow up watching Arthur. That was after my time, but I just think Arthur the Aardvark memes getting run and becoming so popular is a pretty funny thing, so I'm cool with it. I think that the LeBron versus the Warriors thing is now kind of run its course, and I'm hoping that we get LeBron versus somebody else or the Warriors versus somebody else, because I think we're now at the very tail end of what is still interesting trash talk-wise, but I'm fine with the Arthur t-shirt.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And yesterday, Peter Schwartz met Billie Jean King. I don't know where he was at. Maybe the U.S. Tennis Center. Not sure where this was, but our friend Peter Schwartz.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Has been known to go to the lengths of the earth to see a free sporting event with his children. And I can only imagine this was that, as he took a picture with him and his eldest son, Bradley, with the tennis legend.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
So the question is, did he go home with free tennis balls? That is the question. If he was somewhere where Billie Jean King was and Bradley was there, who we believe is a guy that, well, Peter has talked about this, has left a baseball game with six different baseballs once. We've questioned the technique and whether it's professional or not, but did they leave with tennis balls?
Yes, I wouldn't be stunned if they left with a racket.
With a racket?
Would not shock me. His sons did leave with a volleyball from a pro beach volleyball tournament this weekend, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, they had a volleyball tossed to them. He sent me a picture to say, see, we even get volleyballs at games.
So now we really have to question his techniques if he's getting free volleyballs at volleyball tournaments.
That's not an easy thing to carry home. That's not a baseball. You got to put that under your shoulder.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
It is time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Sam tweets, DA, how long do you see the Warriors core four staying together, or do they eventually break up? I think eventually they have to break up. I think they've got another 2 years here. Klay comes up a year from now, Draymond 2 years from now. I think they'll keep Klay under contract this year instead of trade him. He's got one more year to go. Ride it out and then try to convince him to stay next offseason. So I think they've got minimum 2 more years to go. Well, minimum 1 more year because Klay may leave next summer. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm keeping these guys together this upcoming season, going for a third straight ring and a fourth in 5 years. Then I cross that bridge when I come to it if I can't get Klay to re-sign. And I would think Klay wouldn't re-sign until he knows his market value 1 year from now. It is time for your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And Mraz put Bob the Deli Man, his dad, on blast.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz?
I mean, you nailed it there. The only time the special of the day menu is needed is to correspond it to the regular menu to make sure you're not ordering something similar, because that means it's old product they're trying to push out the door.
So you never have the special of the day?
Never. It's an old, old tale. My father's told me this, worked in the food industry forever. And same goes, by the way, if you go to a deli counter, like at a supermarket, and you see like the manager's specials, like, oh, that's a great deal on whatever cold cut or deli meat you want, right?
Mike, they can't eat you.
Don't buy it. That means it's going bad, and they want it out. They want to get it out.
For those of us that eat above Applebee's, sometimes the special menu is when the chef actually has new product that's not normally on the menu that he is special making that day. It's not four-day-old cod that he's trying to get rid of.
Also, this is hysterical because the great irony is that Mraz's dad is Bob the Deli Man, who has this show on at the deli.
So, good point! I forgot about that.
So people are walking up to his deli counter right now. They just saw his manager special and just realized I should not buy this.
Nobody ordered the lemon pepper chicken in Bay Ridge today.
Is there a surveillance video of him like stopping the slicer, like looking around?
Go to the ear, nose, and throat department. Get your hearing checked.
Don't buy the olive loaf. The olive loaf has gone bad.
Don't listen to him. It's fine.
Bob, we're going to need to see you in the office.
You just take one of those drugs on the commercials. Cure himself.
Right now, the food line in Bay Ridge never wanted easy listening so badly.
Go stuff yourselves.
They would have sold so much more olive loaf today. The whole store's turning around going, oh, the manager's special is garbage.
It's so true.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
On a Waste Bin Wednesday, Adriana tweets, I'm trashing my neighbors who have nothing better to do than peek over the fence and complain to the HOA about what's in our backyard. My husband rebuilds vehicles, and they have the gall to say we're trashy for having truck parts behind our fence. Hashtag, get them out.
You've been trashed.
Get them out.
Tyler tweets, I'm trashing the repair company that told my dad, we'll come back to your house at noon, but then decides not to show up. Hashtag thanks for nothing.
Taking out the trash.
I like a Waste Bin Wednesday to carry on the tradition of a Trash Tuesday that we missed yesterday. So we got you covered. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Baladi on the Wheels of Steel.
The Body.
Yeah. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com on the simulcast and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.